Okay, boys and girls, we're here with the area fishing kind of, we're just going to call it a fishing update because we're not going to be able to get to the whole area. This is Fishing Frank, the chair, Captain Morris Campbell, in the chair across from me, longtime charter boat captain, privately contracted to a company right now, but does do freshwater charters. He's one of the few captains around that you can actually go freshwater fishing, do bass fishing, and he covers pretty much anywhere in the state. Prices are variable upon location, destination, stuff like that. But Morris Campbell's been an exceptionally good friend of mine for years, and let's talk fishing, Captain.
Yeah, let's do.
All right, what's up with the fishing world?
Okay, since you brought the freshwater thing up, right now is just an awesome time to be out catching bass. Bass are spawning. Some are post-spawn already.
Now, is it true that you can go to one lake right now, and this is what I've been hearing from guys, one lake, they're pre-spawn. They really haven't spawned yet.
That's correct.
Another lake, they're on the beds, and some lakes, they're off of the beds.
And my private lake on my property, I've actually got two or three phases of fish in there, but the majority of my fish have already spawned. But there are still a few that are late and haven't spawned yet. I fished last week, last Saturday, a week ago, we caught 23 bass, and we topped off with a 10-pound, 2-ounce beautiful bass. I wound up catching that one.
All right. 10-pound, 2-ounce bass. This deserves a little retrospect. What were you fishing with? Was it live bait or artificial?
We were artificial, and we started this particular local.
Now, please say something it is that I actually carry in stock.
Well, I actually... I caught the bass.
I'm kidding, Morris. What you caught about?
I caught him on a black swim jig that I bought at Fishing Frank's.
Black swim jig?
A black swim jig with a
okay,
black
now you got me
crawl.
Curious because I have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, it looks just like a flipping jig, only it's more slender. You know, it's not as
what
round.
Brand is it?
It was Strike King.
Okay, so you got a Strike King swim now.
And I put I use a craw trailer on it, Gambler craw. We caught 23 bass on that, and we fished an hour prior to switching to that, and we caught 2 bass on plastic worms.
So you were using worms? Were they ribbon tail or Senko styles?
We're using the traditional curly tail, like a culprit, and I was actually using finesse worms.
Yeah.
And
you can cough. It's
just, excuse me.
This is just our show.
Yeah.
This isn't like real programming. You know, if you turn your head away so it doesn't blow the microphone out, who cares? I mean, you know, I think radio rules are stupid. You know, I actually have a whole bunch of bodily functions that go on during the course of the show, and sometimes they come across on the mic. Sometimes
too much information there.
Yeah. TMI. You know, but I got coffee here. You know, we are going to be going, because I'm going to be doing some of that vaping. We're going to start the Twitter Live and Facebook Live fishing broadcast. But right now, I don't want anybody to see what I do.
Okay. Well, some things are better left unsaid.
Yeah. So I'm actually going to clean the room up.
But anyway, back to the bass fishing thing. A lot of people don't realize, but you know, up north, a lot of people fish with crawdad style lures, and you know, because they associate the bass eat crawdads up there, crawfish.
There's so many crawdads here, though,
and they do eat them here. They love them.
But
and
we have a huge amount of crawdads in Florida.
Yes, we do. But how many people do you know that fish with them?
I used to, but
yeah.
That's back when I was fishing with Dave. Before Dave passed away, I was in Lake Okeechobee all the time with David. Mm-hmm. We used to go over and have a ball. And several other lakes. I mean, we were big into bass fishing. We fished tournaments together and doing all that. But we used crawdads all the time. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize people had fallen out of that.
Well, you know, it's becoming a lot more popular now, especially punching and flipping into the heavy cover. But few people in Florida actually use a jig and craw to cast to a shoreline and fish it out away from the shoreline on the bottom.
And so now, you're rigging it kind of like you would a culprit worm? With the weight and then the...
No, it's the swim jigs. The swim jig is actually, it's a 1/2 ounce, 3/8 ounce. And you can vary, but I was using a 1/2 ounce swim jig. And you just take the craw and decide how much of it you want to show behind the skirt. You know, adjust that by clipping it off or biting it off or however you want to do it. And you put it on there. It's got a brush guard on, weed guard on it already. So it's ready to go. You tie it on, and it's a really easy thing to do.
So you're talking more like what I would assume would be a Stanley jig.
Yeah, like a jig and pig kind of thing.
A pig and jig type mm-hmm. thing. But instead of putting the Uncle Josh on it, you're putting the crawdad
yes.
parts off the back. So, I mean, you know, I'm just trying to get as an old time, mm-hmm. you know, because I haven't kept up with the bass fishing over the last few years.
Well, you know, ages ago when we were fishing in this lake, and I was fishing with my son, who's now 28, I guess he was about 10 then, and we were having a real slow day, and I pulled the old Uncle Josh, you know, the black pork frog out,
yeah.
and I put it on a flipping jig and proceeded to catch 30 on it, you know, and I had one, so I let Chris use my flipping jig, and, you know, he was catching them on it too. And we were fishing the same lake Saturday, and I remembered that, and I tried it, and it produced like crazy again, and it produced a big lunker bass too.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that a lot of these people, especially nowadays, especially tournament fishermen, forget, is going with what's new and unique and original. Yeah, it's a good idea. I get that. But what makes a great tournament fisherman is, or charter boat captain or anything else, or just a great fisherman in general, after a few years, if you can log away those little tricks, and you'll be out there and go, you know what today reminds me of? And you'll go put that back on and try it. And
boom,
dang if it doesn't, just do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about a jig with a skirt, and any colors seem to be working better?
I was using a solid black jig with a black and black grape colored
craw,
you know, just, yeah. you know, normal colors for Florida. You can use black, blue, you can use pumpkin, you know, any of those colors work. The darker colors, because the crawfish are going to be dark in our waters.
How big of a thing do you think it is? I got guys that come in and say, oh no, that's the... You know, that's the grape with the green glitter, but I needed the grape with the green and red glitter. Is it going to be that critical?
I don't think it is on glitter. You know, sometimes they do get color specific, and they're on a certain color. But, you know, the glitter isn't going to make any difference in it, I don't believe.
Okay. So, you know, I just kind of wonder about that. And here's a guy telling me that the color line makes no difference when people fishing bass will literally have to have a specific blend of 3 or 4 different glitters or shades, you know, like a shad with a this glitter and that glitter, because that's the only one to work. And I said, well, what color line are you using? They said, what does it matter?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, I get it. I carry, we have the dark water camo lines, we've got blue water camo lines, white, green, pink, usually have orange and blues, mm-hmm.
fluorescent.
And yellow,
yeah.
and fluorescent yellow, and green, and fluorescent green and dark. We have all these different colors of line, because some guys, I do believe, get it, and for some people, it literally just makes the rod and reel look a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have that whole fashion sense, you know, I really do. Okay. And then you have this other thing to me outside of the fashion. Does it really look good, you know, with this, and this? That if your eyesight's poor, you like brighter colors, so you can actually see mm-hmm. this braided line. Dark line is very, very hard to see when your eyesight's bad. Are you noticing a big change from one color line to the other? I have found there's not a great color of line to use all year. But during the course of the year, different color lines will get better or worse.
Well, a while back, you actually got the new Berkeley Trace when it was new. It was called
Tracer.
And I actually use that when I'm taking people bass fishing. and we're fishing for shiners, I use a tracer on all of my casting reels for fishing for large bass with it. And the reason I use the tracer is because you can track it without it being completely visible, because it's a visible line because there are little traces of fluorescent green in it, but most of the other colors are neutral and don't show up in the water. But I don't even use a leader. I tie direct to one of the dark strands with my kale style hook, and you know, we don't even use a leader. I don't like any connections on the line when you've got a
heavy cover situation.
Heavy cover, big bass, you know.
Now, I will say that I agree with you, but I think because it has the darker spots and the brighter spots, it's much more camouflage than simply a dark line.
Yes.
Because I don't remember going into, I mean, I, as a kid, I got paid, and as an adult, I used to do a lot of maintenance work and stuff. And you're pulling weeds out of an area, they're not the same color.
That's correct.
They are not all the same color of green or brown or whatever. There's all kinds of variable tones. And it's usually only man-made things that are entirely the same color. So I think because it has the bright visible spots and the darker less visible to us, I think that makes the whole line more invisible as a whole because of the variation.
As do I, and that's why I like to use it. I don't use it on my spinning reels because it, you know, sometimes it does that little thing on
spinning.
They
found out the problem in that. One of the guys who was working for Berkeley and decided to, on his own, become a bean counter. And he put a different blend in the better-selling colors so that they could make more money on it. He has been fired, by the way.
Ah.
And they brought that back. And so now it is all. They improved that whole thing because when it first came out, it was excellent. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I don't even like selling the stuff. Mm-hmm. I like it in the heavier lines, 30 and up. But once you got down like 15 and everything, it just wouldn't work right.
It was man, throwing the wind wrong. Knots and doing crazy.
And they actually called me and said, we're very sorry. And it won't happen again. But somebody in their organization decided they could save money. And
nice.
This was an internal investigation by them, maybe spurned on by the complaints from a couple of consumers. When they asked me, you know, well, I see your sales and this are down. I said, well, because it kind of sucks. You know, I said, it's all right in a bait caster, but I wouldn't use it on a spinning reel mm-hmm. anymore. And we did get a call, and they actually let the guy go. So I was very happy to hear that. It is back as a real line. And it's the same thing with that white and blue camo they came out mm-hmm. with. Same guy, same problem. He decided he was going to save money. Who would know the difference? Well, those of us using the line know the difference.
Yeah,
we're
absolutely.
Used to 100% top-line premium, and all of a sudden we're getting this stuff, and you can't throw it. It knotted up. It casted wind knots. It was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, going back to the bass fishing, you were using the jig, the punch and jig with the craw. What else is working right now?
Well, yeah, this is a wonderful time of year. I mean, especially with a little bit warmer weather we've had. Every pattern will work right now. You can catch them, you know, punch them in heavy cover. You can catch them on a spinnerbait, topwater, traditional plastic worm, spoon, and, you know, always on live bait. I mean, right now, if you really want to catch a huge bass, a live shiner, there's no better large bass bait available.
Well, I like fishing edge of a big weed line with a shiner. That's always fun, you know, mm-hmm. getting them to come just that little ways out to nail them. But if you were going to go out, any crappie, bluegill, you seen any panfish activity?
Yeah, you know, the water's not cold, and surprisingly, the other day when we were fishing, I caught several really large bluegill, probably 12-inch bluegill, on finesse worms, fishing for bass.
Now, finesse worm, describe that.
Yeah, finesse worm's just a straight worm, traditional-looking worm, 4 inches, possibly 5 inches.
Skinny.
skinny usually, has a lot of wiggle in it, doesn't need a curly tail, it's got its own action. Most fish don't swim like a snake, like a curly tail. Finesse worms can be a worm, it could be mistaken for a small fish or anything. Now, just looks like something to eat for a fish.
Remember the old plowboys, Kelly worms?
Oh, those are awesome.
Pure boys and all that.
Those are the swimming worms. They tend to just spin around in a circle, you know, pre-Roland Martin helicopter lure days.
Oh, yeah.
But I actually love those things. They catch fish anywhere, and you know, anybody can hook a bass on them.
I will honestly tell you, I don't know if we have any finesse worms in stock. I have no idea.
You do.
I know I carry the Kelly, the Plowjack. And if you're wondering, why don't I know? It's because I'm old, decrepit, and, you know, just don't keep up anymore. And we have a $300,000 inventory.
Well, I can vouch because I've looked through the plastic worm selection, and you have several finesse style worms that will work.
You're gonna have to point them out to me so that I can actually, when people come in asking about this, I want to know what I'm talking about. You just rig them with a worm hook or a little jig head?
I like a small 16th ounce jig head, and majority of the time I just thread it on there and let the hook stay out in the open. The little fine wire jig head hooks that, you know, you can use, they'll pull right out of most grass, and if you get stuck in a piece of wood or something like that, if you just put a straight pull on it, it'll straighten the hook out and bend it right back and go again.
Yeah, that's one thing. A lot of freshwater fishing is done with bent wire hooks. The biggest difference between a straight freshwater hook and a straight saltwater hook, or between a hook that's just used for freshwater, a lot of times is a bent wire. And it's not forged in any way, because the fish are not shake, 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 pull, 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 pull. They don't have to have that forged aspect to it. And if you just work your fish a little bit, take a little bit easy with them, you're going to land that fish. But if you get hooked in a rock, you know, in a crevice, a piece of wood or something, you can literally straighten that hook out and pull it back to
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, another thing is, when we're talking about finesse fishing for bass, we're talking about using mono that's anywhere from 4 to 8 pound max, and, you know, braided lines that are, you know, 15 pound and under if you're using a braided line. And fluorocarbon lines work really well for that.
In that light thing, I'm going to agree with you. I hate fluorocarbon line if it's over 6 pound test.
Mm-hmm.
6 pound and down, I can do fluorocarbon. I think it's okay for line. I don't think it's as good as mono.
There's a lot of problems with fluorocarbon when you go heavier and try to cast it exclusively.
I hate it. Under in light lines, I've actually used it for line. But as for leader, I love it. For line, I prefer mono.
And you can use the lighter braid, the 10-pound and 15-pound class braid.
I carry 6- and 8-pound braid, by the way.
And you can actually, you can use a 18- or 24-inch piece of light fluorocarbon leader and just do tremendous work with that.
Yeah, but I'm kind of on your thing. I'm not really sure that, you know, having a line there, especially a multicolor line, is really that much of a detriment freshwater. But I think if I had to catch fish, the only thing I usually do is in saltwater, I've got like 15-pound braid and 30-pound fluorocarbon. In freshwater, I might have 15-pound braid and 6-pound fluorocarbon.
Mm-hmm. Or 10.
Or 10 or whatever. But I will typically go down because I don't need to chew through. I want sneaky and stealthy.
Correct.
And all that. So I'm not looking for the chew-through value of it, where with the saltwater, I'm looking more for the chew-through.
Mm-hmm.
I want that time with the fish to get him in before I lose him and leave him with the hook. Have you heard anything about crappie fishing?
Yeah, we've caught some pretty good crappies. Some of the local areas, the typically known canals and places around, will have crappie in them, you know, especially with this cooler weather coming in. Minnows and jigs. I like combination of a minnow and jig. You know, any kind of pink jig with a minnow on it is really good. Blue and white's a real good color for them. Just standard white. You know, beetle spins work real well for crappie, bluegill, and bass. You know.
All right. Can you give me three different places, you know, a street or lake or something you could walk or drive up to, or, you know, kind of get to where anybody could do it. One for panfish, one for bass.
Okay. Well, they're all kind of going to go into that same area. You can catch crappie, panfish, and bass right now at Lake Betty. I mean, that's a great place. It's got plenty of bank access.
But now you can slide a boat in at Lake Betty as long as you're rowing it.
Mm-hmm.
Electric trolling motors legal. Motor. Mm-hmm. Gas engines legal? Or
You could use your gas engine in there, but I just wouldn't rip around in there on plane. Or
it's
anything.
Illegal to be above idle speed.
Yes.
There is a full, complete idle speed rule there.
Well, and it's a common sense thing, too.
But you can actually use your gas engine there.
You could.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You wouldn't really need to run very far because it's just a small piece of water. But something that about Lake Betty that makes it special is it has a really healthy population of shad. And the shad are, you know, that's bass candy, and that's also crappie candy.
Well, people don't realize when you say shad, that shad have to grow up to get that big.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're small, they're perfect, you know, forage for crappies. Believe it or not, a lot of the shiners, I've got one company, it's the exact same fish. Whether you're buying a minnow or a shiner, you're just buying them at a different age.
That's correct.
It's not that the minnow is a different species than the shiner, although in some cases they are. But in the one company I get from, they are exactly the same fish. You're either buying them younger or older.
That's correct.
And that's the only difference between them. So that's why when you're saying shad, and people think, well, that'd be great for the bass, but why would it do anything for a crappie? But that would be. Now, I would think, with Lake Betty, I would be kind of going out along, what's that, Hillsborough? What parallels the 9 mile there?
That's Hillsborough.
Yeah, because you go up 41, you turn right on Toledo Blade, and right before the bridge, you can turn left or right on that road. And when you go to the right, you're coming back towards Port Charlotte. Go to left, you're going further north. I do like going a little left of there up to where that dam is. Mm-hmm. There's a big dam/weir system there. And I like fishing there.
That's fine fishing. All of the Northport canals, the Cocoa Plum Canal is a really good place to look around.
Yeah, it's on the Cocoa Plum.
And another just a marvelous facility with tons of bass fishing and pan fishing that gets overlooked by just almost everyone. Nobody really thinks about it. Is Webb Lake and the whole Webb area. I mean, you go down, you pay a couple bucks to get in, and you have access to these wonderful lakes down there that are just chock full of bass and bluegill and tilapia and catfish. And you can keep everything except the largemouth bass out of there if you want to keep a few.
So you can keep crappie out of there?
Absolutely.
Okay. I wasn't sure about that. I know you're not allowed to take bass out of there. You and I have been there catching bass on Zip and Ziggies. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I guess we're just going to label this out as a freshwater report. Anything else that you would can think of?
Most of these areas, too, we were talking about areas. Most of the places that people live around here have water of some kind around them. If it's fresh water, you're going to catch bass and most of the other things out of it. A lot of these golf course residents, you know, all of these areas.
We had somebody call us up. Is there a golf course I can get onto, sneak onto to catch fish?
Sneak onto. Keyword, no.
Sneak onto. I said, I don't know any that you'd actually be able to go onto. But, you know, if you're a member of the golf club or whatever they, you know, I don't know how you get into those. I've never played around a golf in my life. Not that I went to try one time and I made the mistake of turning the head a little bit so that I could hit it straight, and I was shooting balls up the middle of this thing, and I thought I was doing pretty good. And the guy said, "Well, what are you doing? How long you've been golfing?" I said, "I've never golfed. That was the first time I ever held a golf club outside of, you know, the little putt-putt stuff." And I would they berated me that you can't turn the head that way. You got to learn to do this. You got to learn to do that. I said, but I was hitting them. And they said, that's not the point. And I said, you're right. And I went into the clubhouse and
19th hole for you.
Yes. I learned the value of that. And I had a great time with the people at the club. And we had a few cocktails and I left really enjoying the experience and gave up that. I said, I'll never be a golfer. But back to the bass fishing, some phenomenal fishing around there. But if your bass comes out a little orange,
yeah, I yellow, certainly wouldn't eat anything.
Wouldn't want to eat it. No. What do you think? I personally, I don't think from all the studies I've read here, most of the canals, most of the stuff, especially since they rerouted some of the water in Port Charlotte, that there is no problem with toxicity of the fish if you eat them in moderate levels.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, once a month is fine for most, as a general rule. Mm-hmm. Some places it's once a week or once, you know. But, I mean, let's face it, eating crappie once a month is, you're catching a lot of freaking crappie.
You're doing well. Yeah. And you know, most of the bass, you know, if you're really hungry for a fish dinner and you keep a bass, yeah, that's cool. But, man, throw those bass back. Let them grow big and, you know, somebody else can catch them. I mean, you can.
I'm not thrilled with the flavor of bass because you get one that's wonderful.
Catch one that tastes great, and the next one out of the same spot could taste like mud.
Oh, yeah. That's the only thing I can't get along with. And I don't want to kill something if I'm not going to eat it. Mm-hmm. So I made myself a catch and release bass fisherman because fell in love with the flavor of the bass, absolutely loved it, but had several that had that funky flavor to them. And no one can actually tell me, to my satisfaction, why I'm tasting that.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot figure out why one does and one doesn't. But to me, when it don't taste good, it ain't good.
That's true. It's not good.
And they keep telling me, no, they're fine. Everything I read, no, they're fine. It's just a this or that. Don't care. I don't eat bass anymore. I took myself out of the mix. Great catch and release fish. Ate the hell out of crappie. I like bluegills. My favorite way on bluegill or campfire.
Doesn't get better than that, does it?
Takes
bluegill shell crackers.
Yeah, I mean,
oh my!
The first time I can remember eating them was taking a slab off them. Still had the, you know, rinsing it off, still with the bones and everything in there, and sticking one end on a stick, putting it over the campfire. You know, dipping in the ashes a little bit to pick up a little wood flavor to it. And people forget that putting ashes on meat was actually a good thing. To this day, every time if I eat a bluegill or something, it's never quite the same.
There you go.
But, and you've done, as I have, high in the mountains eating freshwater trout, uh-huh. Which I am the least, there's no way. If I had a choice between breadsticks and freshwater trout in a restaurant, I'm going with the breadsticks.
There you go.
I just don't like them. I know you like them. You like them a lot. But to me, if I'm in the mountains and I'm up there and I've got a campfire and usually packed in some type of cooking mm-hmm. utensil, that is what I want to eat.
You can eat a trout and he tastes really good.
They are so good. But sometimes you got to have the whole experience to go with them.
That makes the difference.
It's just like walleye. I'm not a big fan of walleye in a restaurant.
Sure,
a little bit. But when I'm up north and I'm on a lake and I could cook one, or you even take it to a friend's house and eat it, mm-hmm. you know, because I don't live there anymore. You know, when you take it home and eat it, or eat it on the lake especially, the best place to ever have a walleye was on my dad's houseboat. We had a big 40-foot houseboat up there in the chain of lakes and catch walleye. Cook it up there on the boat. I think some things got to be done as a package.
There you go. Walleye and perch, that's just real good.
All right. Captain Morris Campbell, I know you've got to get to work. You got a group of people you're taking out today. And I really appreciate the freshwater reports and
very
what's
good.
Going on with that.
Thank we'll you talk so salt much. Water next time.
We'll talk salt water on another one. All right. Fish is right here in the chair. Captain Morris Campbell over there. I'm going to get your information from you, and I'll put it with this for if you want to go bass fishing with Captain Morris. Anyway, Fish and Frank, Captain Morris, we will see you on the next one, boys and girls. Bye-bye.